You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 2nd, 2020. Many woke up in Milwaukee today and across the land thinking, oh boy, are we going to have a great convention when we get to Milwaukee in July. We got some kind of microphone problem going on here, folks. I don't know what it is. It's not my voice. It's not your signal. It's our fault. We'll figure it out one way or the other. All right. Just in case you missed what I was saying. The plan for the Democrat National Convention to be held in July, July 13th. Not going to. They're deciding to push it back for fear that COVID-19 might still be rampant. So they're pushing it back to August 17. Still going to be in Milwaukee, but you can talk about a lot of rooms are going to have to be switched around and whatever plans might be made in Milwaukee at that time. The Republican Convention still scheduled as is, which would be the following week. August the 24th, at least at this point. Unemployment claims spiking to a new record last week. 6.6 million unemployed. 6.6 million Americans filing for aid to get some kind of help. China, by the way, pushing back on claims it lied about the coronavirus numbers. China is insisting that of the 12,500 who died during the country's first mandatory lockdown, 10,000 died of other causes. Oh, no, no, no. It was not the virus. It was something else. That's what they would have you believe. Florida Governor DeSantis, like several governors across the state, Republican governors, have not wanted to have a statewide lockdown, a statewide stay-at-home order. They say it's not necessary. Just in the populated areas, maybe, but not beyond. Well, the Florida governor has yielded. He's now decided, as of midnight, Thursday night, there will be a statewide stay-at-home order in the state of Florida for at least 30 days. He said it makes sense to make this move now. Texas is one of those states still refusing to do so. Same thing with Missouri. 34 states, including California, New York, Illinois, all of them some of the most populated cities, and of course, Democrat governors have already issued stay-at-home orders for their residents. Presidents have been questioned, are we going to have a national quarantine? And he keeps saying, I hope we don't have to. National quarantine would also mean no more domestic flights, no more travel by train nor bus, not just across state line, but from city to city or county to county. In the meantime, you know what seems to be the most pressing issue for some? The Congressional Hispanic Caucus rushing forward and saying all illegal aliens currently in custody of ICE should be released at this point. Free all of the illegal aliens and border crossers. Let them out of these detention centers where they might be exposed to coronavirus. This is, again, the stupidity of the left that if you've got folks and they're in a contained area, now we're going to set them free, and then they're more likely to move around. They're not going to sit at home themselves, I'm sure, any more than those who have been released from jails by various municipality saying, well, we're going to set all of our prisoners free for this point because they might have coronavirus. If they got coronavirus, you want them locked up and stay right there. But, what they're trying to do is turn it into, again, a political football. North American box office theaters, we know, closed across the nation. And they're showing that they're having a $600 million deficit. so far because of this pandemic, which is just beginning. Oh, and the University of Texas and Austin public health officials say about 30 students who went on their spring break trip to Mexico, Cabo San Lucas, all back, and 30 of them testing positive for the virus. We were telling the kids, don't go gathering masses, don't go do this, but it's spring break, man, huh? Oh, man, I got to have my spring break time. And so they did. And so now it appears they're going to pay a price of some type. We told them. But you were a teenager once. How many times did you listen? Took a long time to learn, didn't it?
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19, coronavirus, is real. But despite all the hype, the fake news, there's no need to panic. Still, you want your environment safe for customers, employees, family. What can be done? How much would it cost? Who to trust? I can tell you, Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental would determine the best way to protect against COVID-19. Wellington Environmental can do it at a very reasonable cost. When it comes to trust, for more than 30 years, Wellington Environmental has been working with hospitals, nursing homes, universities, schools, even private homes. You don't last more than 30 years if you're not doing an excellent job. COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has the experience to give you peace of mind. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Well, I walk into the room, passing out $100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same. 'Cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise 'cause the girls, they are so pretty. Riding up and down Broadway on my own Studley Roy. And the girls say, save a horse, ride a cowboy. Everybody says, save a horse, ride a cowboy.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Anderson, I will tell you, in the 7 years I have covered the White House, that is the most stunning briefing that I've ever sat through, to have public health officials come in and try to explain to the American people that they need to come to grips with the fact or the very strong likelihood that we're going to see 100,000 to 200,000 Americans die over the next couple of months from the coronavirus. I have to tell you, it was just downright chilling.
Downright chilling. Jim Acosta. Acoster, whatever you want to call it. It's Acosta. I just like making fun of the name. On his appearance on CNN's Anderson Cooper 360, talking about how the president and the other day, as they announced that we could have 1 million to 2 million infected over the next 2 weeks, or before we're done with the virus entirely, we could have fatality rates exceed 100,000, maybe 140,000. No, actually, I take it back. They did move it up to 240,000. Yeah, those are frightening numbers. I mean, they clearly. But when he starts off saying, I will tell you, that's the most stunning briefing I've ever sat through. Let me reemphasize to you for a moment. When Trump was giving his briefing and starting that briefing, the CNN audience was not seeing it because they had decided they were not going to carry him live. They did not want to give him additional coverage, and they were only going to go live when he brought up one of the doctors to talk to him. And so they did not hear the original opening remarks as their reporter did sitting there. But, of course, then they would lift it and use parts of it later. But that should tell you everything. The attitude that they're not going to believe anything comes out of this president's mouth. They're going to fight him tooth and nail. They're going to put all the blame on him. And they're always going to look for some other way to describe anything that makes them look bad. And so what they were doing is not letting their audience see the beginning of that. But then when it came down to discussing it that night, with Jim Acosta appearing on the Anderson Cooper show and saying, I will tell you, in 7 years I've covered the White House, that is the most stunning briefing I've ever sat through. Downright chilling. And of course, what they're now, the next step for them to do is try to point out that because it's so chilling and those numbers are so frightening, it's because this president was not prepared.
Dr. Birx came up to the lectern at one point, Dr. Fauci. I think Dr. Fauci came the closest to anybody in that room to acknowledging that had we been more aggressive sooner, that perhaps we might have been able to lower this projection that was just grabbing us by the shirt collar in that room. Dr. Birx was essentially saying, well, this virus even surprised her. I think there are just going to be so many lessons learned moving forward, Anderson, but the stark message that we got in that briefing room this evening is unmistakable. This country is about to go through a horrendous, terrible experience. And, yeah. And I have to tell you, people may not believe the president when he says any of this. And I've been, you and I have been, pretty critical of him from time to time. Yeah. This was a different Donald Trump tonight. I think he gets it.
Now they want to clarify and say, oh, I think he gets it. See, they're suggesting we got it long before he did. And he kept trying to dismiss it and say it didn't amount anything. And, of course, in the midst of his remarks, he had to acknowledge that Dr. Birx, one of the White House coordinators for the Coronavirus Council, said it has appalled even them. They did not expect it to be of this number. But they still trace it back to, this is the way things go, friends. It's chain of command. Who's ever at the top is the one responsible. I don't care if you're the admiral of the Navy and the ship goes ashore by mistake, well, you're probably going to be held accountable somewhere along the way. And Dr. Birx did acknowledge that the way we were interpreting the Chinese data, we knew it was serious, but thought it'd be smaller than what we got here. And, of course, the other part of that story is that China was lying, and we know now they were lying. And we're going to get into that in more detail. I've got an expert coming up in a moment, and we're going to break down some of the lies the Chinese told as they let their people die. And as I mentioned in news and commentary a moment ago, trying to say, well, out of 12,000, only 2,000 were from the virus, 10,000 were from other diseases. Right. Yeah, right. But Trump's the leader. Trump is president. And if you're going to be there, if you're going to be in that chair, it's back to Harry S. Truman. The buck stops here. He can get credit or blame, depending on the situation. And as far as this mainstream media is concerned, we're going to continue to battle him, and we're going to continue to put blame on him. And even to the extent that Jim Acosta suddenly has decided he is a therapist, that he can judge and by watching Trump can tell that he's becoming a quivering mass of jello, that Trump is coming apart inside, and at any moment the facade's going to break down and we're going to see Trump fall to the fetal position and start bawling. That's what Acosta is trying to suggest. Listen again.
But I have to tell you, Anderson, I've never seen President Trump like this. I know people might say, well, I can't ever trust him. He's a phony and so on. People may say that, but Anderson, I have to tell you, sitting in that room that close to him, I've never seen President Trump like this, and I think to some extent he is scared right now, Anderson, and we could all feel that in the room.
He is scared. What he's saying, he's stopping just short of saying he's in a panic, but he's scared, and we could all feel that in that room. I got to ask you something. When you heard the numbers the other day, 100,000 deaths, maybe 240,000 deaths, did you just act like you're whistling and going by a graveyard and nothing to it? Or did it hit you in the face like, oh, my God? It's sobering. In fact, that's the first thing I sent word to my daughters in text messages. I said, these numbers are sobering. I didn't say scary. I didn't say panicking or anything. I said, they shouldn't make you pay attention to what's going on. This is more serious than they thought. Do I put the blame on Trump? It's easy to do because he's at the top. We don't need a blame game at this point. We really don't. But neither do we need mainstream media constantly trying to turn the American public against the White House at this time. We are in a war footing. But he would have you believe Winston Churchill is scared. My God, Winston Churchill was scared a few times, very much so. You should be. That doesn't mean you were at a panic stage, but that's what the CNN Jim Acosta wants you to believe. And then, of course, you got the left ready to pile on. If you give them that opening, here they come. All right, let me see how I want to go about this first. Let's go first with, which, by the way, part of the left would include, and we're going to get into it in more detail in the next segment, new calls for another congressional committee to investigate Donald Trump, this time as to how he has handled or mishandled the virus. That's another way the left will try to battle him, as we're trying to save our country, not only citizens from illness and possible death, but their livelihoods. But you get those that are kind of set in their ways, and by that, I mean they're also sitting on some nice piles of cash. They look down upon you, the unwashed, because you are so stupid. You don't get it. You don't understand it. So here comes actor John Cusack, calling for the impeachment of Trump again in the midst of this. He said he's got to be removed from power in order to save lives. That's what he says. We need to remove Trump from power to save lives. Impeach him again. Which is, of course, what the House did this last time. They filed the impeachment papers, and then Nancy sat on them for a week or more because it was such a pressing thing and the nation was at risk. But she sat on them and then finally brought them over. And, of course, they did not get through the Senate. But Cusack says, do it again. And that is why you're going to see Nancy Pelosi and others begin to talk about another congressional hearing. I'll get into that in more detail in a moment. But let's go to someone else in the Hollywood scene. They don't have to worry about where their next paycheck's coming from. They don't have any car payments. They don't have any house payments. Man, they're just set. They're set for life. You have a car payment? Well, you're such a diddly little person to have a car payment. And a house payment? Oh, my God. Oh, my God, are you working hour to hour? Oh, my God, are you living paycheck to paycheck? And now we're taking it away, and now you got to wait patiently for that stimulus check to come your way? Bette Midler's not waiting. She doesn't need to. But you know what she now wants you to say, what she is saying? She's calling Trump cruel and malignant because he's not taking care of things the way Obama would. As if we know what Obama would do. We saw what he did with H1N1. It wasn't that great, believe me. And we had 50,000 plus deaths, I believe. And the emergency order as given by Obama came pretty late in my viewpoint. But aside from that, I'm not going to go down that rat hole all over again. But she is saying Trump's overwhelming jealousy of Obama will kill us. Bette Midler. Trump's overwhelming jealousy of Obama will kill all of us. I would submit Bette Midler, other than you being, I think, a great entertainer, but a political fool, I would submit that your love affair and infatuation and adornment of Obama would kill us. It's not the jealousy of Trump for Obama. There is no jealousy. What's he going to be jealous about? But again, back to Jim Acosta talking about how Trump was just scared the other day in that news conference.
But I have to tell you, Anderson, I've never seen President Trump like this. I know people might say, well, I can't ever trust him. He's a phony and so on. People may say that. But, Anderson, I have to tell you, sitting in that room that close to him, I've never seen President Trump like this. And I think to some extent he is scared right now, Anderson. And we could all feel that in the room.
And we could feel that in the room. And how dare he say, there are some who might call him saying, oh, I can't trust him. I can never believe anything he says. There are some who would say that. Acosta, you said it. And CNN and every one of your cohorts, you said it. And if there are folks out there that are saying it, and often they are parroting you. Is this not a time where somebody on inside that news organization can say, guys, start looking for some positive things. Let's see how we can put this nation together. Trump is the leader right now. That's where we are. No, they can't and they won't. And they know they will get support, more so from the left. And as the left begins to talk about other ways to destroy Trump, here comes Nancy. Please stand by.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
Love and happiness. But wait a minute, something's going wrong. Someone's on the phone, 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, talking about how she can make it right. Yeah.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So here's the simple fact. Through the 20 days of the impeachment trial, while Schiff and his team were doing their best to get President Trump out of office, Trump is already taking some actions in fighting coronavirus. He imposed his travel ban on China January 31, the same day the Senate voted on witnesses in the impeachment trial. But now we're being told by Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff and other Democrats that Trump's not up to the job. We need to have a committee, an investigation. We need another congressional inquiry to determine what he did wrong the first time around. And so Senator Mitch McConnell said, well, you know, you guys were distracting, very distracting, while he's trying to deal with that. You kept dealing with his impeachment thing. Well, of course, they seized upon that as, oh, you're trying to make an excuse, are you, Nancy Pelosi?
I think that's an admission that perhaps the president and the majority leader cannot handle the job. We have a life and death situation in our country, and they should not try to hide behind an excuse for why they did not take action, but it does admit that they did not take action.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I just told you what action was being taken. Specifically, on January 31, President Trump said, stop Chinese flights from coming in, stop Chinese citizens from coming directly to our country. January 31. The very day the Senate was voting on witnesses in the impeachment trial, he was doing both. He must be able to do both. He must be able to multitask. Can't just get wrapped up in one little thing. All they were pointing out is you were not helping during that time, Nancy. During that time when we needed more focus on this, and maybe we would have all done better, all of us, Nancy, would have done better if you'd been doing that instead of trying to get rid of this president, because you lost the election, and you can't figure out what to do between now and the next election. There was one member of the Senate that skipped a lot of the hearings. skipped out on them. Why? Well, because he began to realize this coronavirus thing, it's going to need more attention. And so he was skipping out of the hearings and some of the testimony to go meet with administration officials to deal and figure out what to do about coronavirus. That was Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas. Before we wrap up this hour, I'm going to give you a little bit more background and detail on what he was doing. But the administration was doing both. They were dealing with, all right, they got more witnesses, they got more, they want to do this, they want to drag that out. Then they've got it, now they want to delay bringing it over. Nancy can't seem to get enough pens together so she can sign and give to everyone. And one then she does, and she's gleefully laughing and handing them out. We already are dealing with coronavirus. The House wasn't helping. Nancy wasn't helping. They were hell-bent on destroying the presidency. We'll take a break when we come back. I've got an expert joining us that's going to give us a little bit more detail of what China was keeping from us and how much China continues to defy and jeopardize the world. Please stand by for that interview.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So you're sitting in your favorite chair, you're enjoying your coffee, and then you see it. What is that? It's moving. Oh, it's a bug. Now, you don't care what kind, you just want it out of your house. Call Rottner Pest Solutions. They'll show up, take care of that bug and all of his friends. Now, you might think any pest control company could do the job, but with Rottner, all employees go through extensive background checks. And Rottner is proud to be the first company in Missouri to receive the Quality Pro Green designation. Plus, Rottner stands behind its work with a money-back guarantee, offering free inspections anytime. So after Rottner clears your house of any pesky critters, go back to your chair and that cup of coffee. Rottner Pest Solutions, Missouri's largest family-owned pest control company, serving more than just the St. Louis metro area. Go to Rottner.com, Rottner.com, and schedule a free inspection. Rottner.com.
Got me waking, bone man, waking around the fire. I want a little rain or water that you won't let Jimmy start, big boy. Can't you hear me when I call?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Got a guest on I've not had before, and I'm anxious to hear from her and some of her thoughts. Hella Dale joining us from the Heritage Foundation. She's in their public diplomacy group and focusing on U.S. government institutions and strategic outreach to foreign countries. And you have a piece out. Hello, first of all, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Larry.
You have a piece out I picked up off the Daily Signal talking about how the Western media falls into China's propaganda trap. And I assume you could say continues to fall in, but go ahead.
Yes, I think you can definitely say that. If you have looked at all at the mainstream media coverage of the coronavirus crisis, you'll find that the media is often far more critical of our own government here in the United States, of President Trump and his administration, than they are of the government in Beijing, which is really odd since this whole crisis disaster originated in China, as we all know. But China has for a long time been sort of preparing for an information war with the United States and with other Western countries.
Well, let me break this down. You said it's kind of odd the media is all against Trump and not. Well, it's not because who he is. As you know, they have been attacking. In fact, before you join us, I was running some clips of CNN Jim Acosta the other day saying, sitting in that room, I could tell Trump is scared. In other words, trying to paint him as a shivering bowl of jelly. He's not sure what to do next. And they don't want to go after China, and they had refused to do that. And, in fact, they were pushing the impeachment process while he was already beginning to deal with China.
That's right. In fact, if Trump had not been as distracted by the impeachment process inflicted by the Democrats, and the media. He might have had more time to focus on the crisis back in January and December, but he didn't. And I think they certainly have some culpability there.
What's your response when Nancy Pelosi says that's just an excuse to say he's not fit for the job?
Well, I honestly have discounted what Nancy Pelosi says for quite some time. I think she's just about the worst leader I've ever seen the Democrats have. There is no substance to her comments. There is no sign that she cares about the American people. The obstructionism and just the sheer craziness of the allegations against the administration and against the president are so absurd that, you know, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
and I tune her out.
And then we get into the Chinese propaganda itself, whereas China now is saying and continues to say that, well, we had something like 12,000 deaths. Everybody wanted to know about all this pile of urns that we were getting for cremations, obviously. And they were saying, well, we had put all the funerals on hold during that time we were on lockdown, but only about 2,000 died of the virus. 10,000 died of other causes. In other words, they're still lying, and we're supposed to believe it.
And we shouldn't believe it because they lied about the virus in the first place. I mean, the government in Beijing were the ones who prevented medical personnel in Wuhan from alerting others about the crisis. They were the ones who kept it quiet until it was so big they couldn't keep it quiet anymore in January. And so why should we believe them now? No, we shouldn't. And these numbers are clearly not correct. If you look at things like cell phone usage and the urns you're referring to and all that, it just indicates a much, much bigger number of illnesses and a much bigger number of dead people. We cannot trust China in any way, shape, or form. And yet, the mainstream media continue to use their numbers as though there was nothing wrong with them.
Without question, in many cases.
Yeah.
And you pointed out in your article, which I know a lot of folks can make this, they can make this jump in their mind right away when I mention the guy's name. You mentioned that Ted Koppel, during the Nightline shows, that was born out of the Iran hostage crisis in 79. And in fact, one of the Marines held hostage at that time was Rocky Sickman from the St. Louis area. And of course, for the St. Louis area, we were all concerned about hostages, but obviously there was a local tie with him being there. And what we had at that time is everyone in the media supporting the president, supporting what can be done, and calling out Iran, whereas here, it's 180 degrees.
It is. They're all calling out their own president, who did not start this crisis, and then who has been working overtime. I mean, I don't see him as equivalent bowl of jelly, but I sure do feel that he has a huge amount of responsibility on his shoulders, and I think overall he has handled it as well as anybody could.
So it's also how the foreign press picks this up. You refer to the Daily Mail that is echoing the Communist Party line as well.
They actually have a formal agreement for content sharing with the People's Daily of China, which is the official organ of the Chinese Communist Party.
With the Daily Mail newspaper of London, basically letting them, why don't you send us the article, we'll just reprint it.
Yes, that's basically it. And you will see them echo the Chinese talking points that, you know, this virus came from the outside and people are continuing. Now there's a second wave, and that's also coming from the outside.
U.S. military.
Yeah. There was a military, athletic games in Wuhan back in the fall, and they claim that the U.S. servicemen and personnel brought the virus over there, which is totally not credible. So they continue this line. Now they're saying it's coming back at them again in countries like the U.K., like Italy, like Turkey, like the U.S., And still there's no evidence for that. But you'll see that line echoed in our media over and over.
Now
accept it with, with a naivete that I find stunning.
You're listening to Hella Dale, who's with the Heritage Foundation. Now, we're talking about how it's received in this country, and of course, those on that are anti-Trump or far Trump will make their decisions on how they evaluate China, maybe based on that, or even those who are some that are anti-Trump or at least smart enough to say you can't just take China at its word. And then we're talking about how some of the foreign press is doing it inside China, these stories. The same ones are circulating among the people there, that the Americans brought this disease in and we did nothing wrong. I mean, there's no way of knowing if it's being bought, but no one's refuting it, not daring to.
I mean, those who can receive news from abroad, like, you know, some of our international broadcasters, like Radio Free Asia, might be providing a different perspective. And I do think probably a fair number of Chinese have a lot of skepticism about their own government because they're subjected to it all the time. But they don't really have much choice except to go along. The Chinese social media scene is completely controlled by the Chinese government, and they have shut down some of their own chat rooms and websites, some of the biggest like social media entities in the world, that they are very carefully monitoring and censoring so that people do not have access to the information that they couldn't even share between them.
Well, last week, the Daily Mail of London ran a story about a second outbreak, as you point out, in China. This is what you wrote for the Daily Signal. Beijing's leading doctor warning of a new coronavirus outbreak after the country reported its first case of someone catching the illness from someone returning from abroad. In other words, our country is safe, but now someone brought it back to us.
Yeah, that just is incredible. And if you look at it, so they started reporting cases or having cases probably back in November, maybe, and then it escalated in December and January. Well, seeing as what we see over here, that it kind of, or in Europe, that the virus kind of goes in peaks and rolls across populations, it just isn't believable that they would have beat it in a couple of months, send everybody back to work, and there would be no consequences. That just, you know, defies belief.
Right. I'm wondering if, when we watch how China is going to continue to persist, and they're getting some willing participants from even mainstream media here that just tends to report it without fact-checking and verifying, and they mm-hmm. blast the White House anytime they make a misstatement of any type, and yet they will run off and falsify stories or pick up articles and run them without double-checking them. The American public is not going to get a clear story from China on dealing with China from China itself, nor from our own mainstream media then.
I know. It's obviously a problem. And yet, President Trump's approval ratings have soared during this crisis. I mean, I think 60% of Americans approve of the way that he has handled the coronavirus, which the mainstream media is totally baffled by.
Yeah.
But, I mean, people are able to judge for themselves.
Thank goodness.
Also, there are
some
news outlets and some people like yourself who are spreading the word.
Well, we're trying. Hella,
we're not completely in the dark, thank God.
Yeah, and I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your article, folks. You can look it up in the Daily Signal. Hella, again, thank you very much for joining us today.
You're welcome, Larry. Thank you.
You bet. We'll take a break when we come back. Let's talk about Senator Cotton and how he began to suspect there might be a big issue with China. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Someday, when I'm awfully low, when the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of you and the way you look tonight.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We were talking earlier about how CNN's Jim Acosta was trying to paint the picture of President Trump as a shivering bowl of jelly that he's scared, and how he has often taken the president out of context and has no problems with quoting Chinese authorities without questioning directly. Well, he also got pushback from Dr. Fauci the other day. Dr. Fauci told Acosta, "You're taking me out of context." Acosta had asked the doctors, Fauci and Birx, if we could have prevented more deaths by acting to mitigate the virus sooner with social distancing guidelines. The doctor's answer was, if there was no virus in the background, there was nothing to mitigate. If there was a virus that we didn't know about, then the answer to your question is probably yes. The only trouble with that is that whenever you come out and say something like that, it almost always comes off as a soundbite that gets taken out of context. That's exactly what they were after. That's what they wanted. Could we have prevented more deaths if we'd started pushing social distancing guidelines from the beginning? In New York, they certainly could have. And in New York, you could say that's de Blasio's fault, the mayor and the governor Cuomo, but I'm not looking to put blame on them. I'm just looking at we were trying to all get a handle on this. But the left wants to put blame somewhere, and it ain't going to be on the left. It's going to be on the right. And since Dr. Fauci, even though he's with the Infectious Health Institute, and Dr. Birx is on the White House counsel for it, they're going to put it there because they are closely tied to Trump. Dr. Fauci said it's unclear precisely when the virus was infecting people in the U.S., even though some cases were not apparent. He said, in a perfect world, it would have been nice to know what was going on there, and we didn't. But I believe, Jim, that we acted very, very early in that. And, of course, President Trump said, hey, I stopped the travel from China January 31, on the same date you guys were selecting witnesses for my impeachment hearing. One of those who had turned his attention away from the impeachment that time was Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas. He gets credit for being the first and the loudest voice in Congress to sound the alarm about this possible pandemic. On January 22nd, this is a piece written by Politico, I believe it is. No, the National Review. Points out on January 22nd, one day before the Chinese government began a quarantine of Wuhan, the Arkansas senator sent a letter to Secretary of Health and Human Services Alex Azar encouraging the Trump administration to consider banning travel between China and the U.S., warning that the communist regime could be covering up how dangerous the disease was. That same day, Senator Cotton amplified his warnings on Twitter, then also on a radio program with Fox and Friends, Brian Kilmeade. At the same time, however, the Senate impeachment trial was dominating the news cycle. The trial, which lasted from January 16th to February 5, had blotted out even coverage of the Democrat presidential primary. Remember that? When the first classified briefing on the virus was held in the Senate, January 24, only 14 senators showed up. Senator Cotton is trying to say, as of January 22, one day before the government of China said, well, we are trying to contain it, you got a big issue here, and trying to get the traffic shut down then. It was not until January 29 that the president agreed to go ahead with what Cotton's concern was. The Arkansas Gazette reports that Senator Cotton missed nearly 3 hours of the impeachment trial while he was discussing all of this with the Trump administration officials. And in a Senate hearing that week, Senator Cotton said the outbreak, quote, was the biggest and most important story in the world. And it was, but who was listening? This wasn't the little boy crying wolf. This is a U.S. senator saying, we've got reason to be concerned. He said, two things struck me about China's response, their deceit and their dishonesty, going back to early December. Second, the extreme draconian measures they had taken. By the third week of January, they had more than 75 million people on lockdown, confined to their homes and apartments, others being arrested.
In some cases, I remember we ran the stories, front doors of apartment buildings were welded shut so folks could not get out. Hong Kong had already banned flights from the mainland. And so then come January 31, the president announced a ban on entry to foreign travelers who had been in China in the previous 2 weeks. And of course he got called a racist, nationalist, xenophobic. Cotton said, I discussed all of this with the president. He said we had the CDC should not have acted like know-it-all bureaucrats. They had the only medical and scientific expertise to develop tests. He said the FDA should not put all of its eggs in the CDC basket. They were slow. So when we do a full evaluation review of what we've done right or wrong, I want to see a lot of attention directed by Senator Cotton to say, go through this list and see what we could have done better. But it's cheaper and easier, and it's such a snarky way to take shots at the president by CNN and the rest of the hounds. Back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.